Hello, wonderful people. Welcome to We Still Got Time, a podcast with Countess and Mike.
Yes, who are we?
Countess, artist, Mike, psychologist. Welcome to our TikTok show. We're going to talk today about pop culture, music, everything. And at the end, stick around because we're going to talk about attachment styles.
Oh, yes. Spicy, so you're going to tell us everything about... Yeah, right. Very spicy. Love that. So first of all, where can they find us before we start? You know, sometimes we have to mention
exactly. That. Y'all, if you're interested in watching us, not watching, hearing us, because, you know, right now, I understand you are, you know, probably somewhere and you're watching this TikTok, but you want to watch more. You're interested in more. Go on Spotify and type We Still Got Time, where you can get 30 plus episodes. Season 2 has started. This is episode 5, by the way. So just so you have like a little heads up.
It is. Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Yeah. So how are you, first of all?
I'm doing good. We had a barbecue today and I'm stuffed.
Yeah. You're so full. That sounds like a good Sunday. I love that for you. Well, I'm good. You know, I'm resting and everything. So, okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. I appreciate this moment till it lasts. I don't know if it's going to be for long enough, but we'll survive.
How is everyone that's joining us? How is everyone that's joining us? How are you guys? Give us your feedback, please.
Yes, and first of all, welcome. Thank you for sticking around. Today, you know, we're going to talk about... We don't have much of the pop culture, right? It's just a bit, not much. But, you know, it's still important. Yeah. Like, I don't know, where do you want to start from?
Ooh, okay. Should we start, like, from a little downer so we can get up towards, like...
Sure, okay. So what was that?
I feel like this podcast is a J-Lo hater, and I swear to God, we're not. We really aren't.
I swear,
every episode we shade her, and it's not in a mean way. It's just that I guess we're witnessing some kind of downfall right now. But
yeah,
I really hope, that, I don't know. Her tour got canceled, or she canceled it.
Well, that's a good PR strategy. The last way to survive, I guess. Look, I don't want to be mean, but let's talk a bit about the facts, okay? Yeah. I saw that the tickets were like $8 at this point. She was trying to sell tickets to people, and that wasn't really working. And in the meantime, there was this thing with, you know, Ben Affleck, that it was going on this crisis. Which is very unfortunate, and I really hope it's just a PR thing. Like, it's not... anything going on, and it's just that it's just like a solution to this problem, the downfall, maybe, to keep it a bit at bay. So like, yeah, she has to stay at home for the kids and the hubby, so the tour is canceled. I really hope it's just a strategy to kind of save the situation, honestly. Like, I'm not meaning to diss her, I'm just observing the facts.
Not you observing. Look, the thing is that, okay, I don't remember exactly. The album is called This Is Me Again or something, right?
Yeah, because there was another one, so like This Is Me, the first 20 years ago.
Yeah, so exactly. So the thing is that she first named the tour This Is Me Again Tour. And then tickets were not selling. So she changed it to This Is Me
Again.
To kind of like, you know, not treat the tour with the album that she probably released, because no one knows. But I think probably they were seeing that the tour was not, like, I saw some TikToks. I personally did not go and to see like the how is doing sell wise, but people were saying that there was literally like, everything was empty. Like, it was very, very low attendance. And you got to keep in mind, like, she probably had a stadium tour. Because, like, she is a big artist. So she probably had a lot of, like, big venues to fill out. So in that case, you either cancel, call defeat, or you change to like smaller venues. I guess you probably didn't want to change to smaller venues. Or it could be the case, as you said, she wanted to like, stay at home, raise the kids. She is a mother after all. So yeah, I guess maybe that was the case, but I'm gonna sound so mean. I swear I'm not mean, but I just
I'm
want to be
gonna agree,
honest.
probably.
I'm honest. If that was the case, if the kids were the case, if the husband and the house, would you announce it in the first place? No.
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying. This was just a solution to get her out of that situation. Because
Yeah.
imagine like the headlines. J-Lo moves a tour to like a, from a bigger venue to a small one, to like a theater.
Yeah.
This is just gonna confirm the downfall, and she doesn't want that alongside her team. So,
Agreed.
you know what? She needs to be home. And now here we are, like everybody else, questioning, was that a move like out of strategy, or is it the real thing? Was it a necessity? So, yeah, the best solution, I guess.
What are your guys' opinions about this? Text, write us down in the
Yeah.
comments. I like no joke, I would go and see J-Lo, honestly, because she is a performer. I don't know why it's such like I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's the reasoning behind this downfall, honestly. Like, I don't know what the general public, where we lost her, basically.
Well, first of all, I would actually join you. Like, I like the choreo. I like the, she usually has a lot of dancers and a lot of costumes. Like, that would be a nice show, even if it's lip synced or whatever. Like, I don't care at this point. But I think the people, specifically with J-Lo, what lacks there, it's the connection between the fans and J-Lo. Like, she's always been kind of like a celebrity that's a bit too distant. Like, she's always, selling, okay, like makeup, great perfumes, what else, like swimwear, underwear, all of that, lingerie, whatever. And she's always been the image, like the presentation in front of the product, instead of the one who actually is there for the people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not talking like philanthropy or whatever. Like, I'm talking a bit more, in connections, like in social media. It's always like, even the meme, like Schiaparelli, like she doesn't even stand there to say hi, so I'm wearing this and that, whatever. It's like, no, I'm a celebrity, leave. This kind of mentality, it's the old Hollywood kind of thing, and I think it doesn't really belong here in this moment, alongside to the other celebrities.
And like she's been in the game for so long.
True.
Like I think like with Rihanna, with like before Katy and Gaga, right? I think she's more close to
Exactly.
Taylor, more close to Rihanna, like early 2000s.
Beyoncé, Shakira.
Beyonce. I feel like there's just like so many of these pop icons, and I don't know if like she could hold her ground. I don't know. Like, there's something clearly that's happened. Because the general public does not care about J-Lo at this point, and I don't know what she needs to do or her team needs to do to get back that. Because like after the Super Bowl, I feel like that was a really good Super Bowl with Shakira. Like,
It
she had
was.
momentum. I don't know where she lost it. I don't know where, that sort of momentum happened. Because let's be honest, the Super Bowl really makes careers like. Artists that are ready to like, re not retire, but like, have lost that initial excitement. It really just puts again some fuel. We've seen that with Katy. We've seen that with Gaga. We've seen that with The Weeknd. We've seen that with so many artists that,
Exactly.
And even Shakira. I feel like Shakira is doing really well.
Yeah.
Like, she was able to, and I think Shakira and J-Lo were. Are pretty similar in terms of like demographics, first of all, because they have that Latin influence.
True.
I don't know. I don't know. This is a very interesting case, honestly, with J-Lo, and I don't know what her and her team needs to do to like keep afloat.
Yeah, honestly, me neither. At this point, it feels like it's pretty tough. Like, this is not something you wish, you know, to anybody. Because think about it, you're an artist, and suddenly no one likes what you're doing and doesn't support it. Like, it's very sad. You know, I would never support that kind of behavior. It's just, in reality, like, realistically, I don't know what she lacks and what she needs to do in this moment. Because, you know, this is a different audience. I remember growing up when, you know, there was Gaga and Born This Way and this kind of iconic pop moment. And you knew that these people were saving lives. You know, they were selling so much and doing so much with music, shows, TV, like performances. But now this is a different audience. We're new, you know, with TikTok, there's more content, clearly. There's more music thrown into everybody's faces, you know, or like trending sounds. Back then, this wasn't it. So I don't know if she's gonna find a way to keep swimming, like to stay afloat, like you said, in this audience, this new audience.
Honestly, the more you said it, that she's not like with the whole like she has the very old Hollywood mentality. Like I was thinking about it now that you were talking about that, and now and you're so right because like, for instance, it just seems, and I don't mean this in a bad way because it was once like very good to be mainstream. I feel like though this kind of mentality does not apply to today. It applied to the early 2010s, you know, and or you know the previous decade. Now I think we need more realness. We need more rawness, and I feel like, for example, Beyonce doesn't care anymore about the charts. She just releases music that she adores. And people have eaten that up because they can tell that it's genuine. They can tell that it's personal. They believe it. The same with Taylor. Like, it's not like the songs are not radio perfect max and hits. They're raw. They have emotion. They have a storyline. And that's what people love. And like, even thinking about it, the last hit that Shakira had was a song about her ex. If you really think about it, like once again, yeah, okay, a little bit more of a mainstream kind of sound, but the hit was something personal to Shakira, you know what I mean? Like it was a song that was very close to her because of, you know, what happened with her marriage and everything. Whereas with J-Lo, her like niche audience or like her niche like aesthetic was dance, pop, club songs. Amazing. We love those. But I feel like people don't really need that anymore. We want more real. We want more storyline. We want more, you know, something to connect with. And maybe that's where she lacks. Like, honestly, like you telling that, you know, she lacks about that really, you know, made me think about it. And I think you're absolutely right.
I'm very glad it did. You know, I think this is like the movement that I don't know who started or if someone started or if it was just a need to like, we need less perfection. We need more authenticity. Like, imagine you turn on the TV, like, since so many, different, like, in different decades, everything was so picture perfect. No pimples, nothing ever. Right? Nothing, like even talking about your mental health was a taboo, and you couldn't show any kind of not flaw, just a weak moment. Nothing. It wasn't acceptable. And so today, like, we are so much on our phones. You know, we open Instagram and TikTok. I think that's why, for example, TikTok kind of like took over because there everybody could post about their health problems or their mental challenges, everything that wasn't supposed to be said, like theoretically, here it is acceptable, and here you could show really your personality. And since this platform thrived, you know, it's not just about TikTok. It's like this movement of wanting authenticity. So everything had to make sense, and everything had to fit in the real, actual world where we live. You know, that's why we mentioned even in, you know, like, was it last year about the downfall of the Kardashians? Like, we don't care about buying that perfect, like, the, what was it? I don't even remember. The lip kit that's gonna make the perfect lips, you know, because F that. Like, we don't want that. We know that behind that, there's like surgery. So, like, don't tell us lies. We can't afford that anymore. I think it kind of like expired this kind of system. So, for sure. What's next.
For sure, for sure. Speaking of what we want a new Gaga era.
Oh my God, yes. Yes.
Wow. Wow. She really said, let me just release 4 years after the album came out, the tour.
Period. Moving.
After 2 years of completing the tour, 4 years after the album came out, obviously, like, COVID happened in the middle, so we understand
yeah,
that.
Yeah, true.
I mean, this is just, like, Gaga performing The House, like, is such a good movie. If you're, I mean, who doesn't like Gaga songs? Honestly, watch it. She's at her prime there. Like, really, I had forgotten how good she performs, no joke, because I hadn't seen her in a while. Like, she can do it all. She can sing, she can dance, she can have, like, it's amazing. But the elephant in the freaking room was that Dance in the Shadow snippet where it flashes and says, LG7, Gaga returns.
Oh, my God.
Wig is
snatched. Oh, my God. Wig is snatched. Left the room. It's out. I cannot wait. So is it going to be like Born This Way stuff? Are we sure about that?
I hope.
Me she's too.
She's giving a lot of black and white from the pictures that we've seen true. So far.
Yeah.
So I can expect anything, honestly.
Oh, it's going to be so amazing. And you know what I love so much? How dedicated she is when she performs. Mm-hmm. Like, remember how, you know, she has this this problem. Was it fibromyalgia? This such, you know, a hard thing to have on your in your body that mm-hmm. there's so much pain, physical pain. Also, yeah. Like, I remember I watched the previous documentary, how she was always, like, having massages prior to the performance and taking some pills to, you know, put the pain away, and then she would just go out and perform for 2 hours. And, you know, the performance of Lady Gaga, like, all of that is so much upbeat dancing, a lot of choreo, hard vocals, you know, that's not easy to do. So, like, I really admire the dedication that she has on the stage. Mm-hmm. Anytime, like, she's always there no matter what is going on in her life. She's always there, like, delivering.
I agree. Fully.
That's amazing.
It's just a good time to be a Gaga stan. I think we're going to get a Katy versus Gaga again, but the healthy version, because that was unhealthy. Whoever survived that war in 2013, wow, that we're troopers, honestly. That was the great war.
But oh, my God. I never liked that. Freaking Glee. I love both.
Glee.
I know.
Glee had a freaking episode.
Let's not talk about that. I love how it turned out to be so problematic.
It was. It really got,
you know, the whole oh my God. You know, anyway, but yeah, we're gonna get a new healthier version of Gaga versus Katy.
Exactly.
Don't make me choose. Yeah.
Also, Countess, who's coming out with new music?
Oh, stop it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't care. It's JoJo again. JoJo. JoJo Siwa is coming out with a new song.
How's it called? Do we know?
What?
Do we know how it's called? I have no clue, honestly.
I don't remember. I think it was Emotions. I don't know. Oh. But can I mention? So she posted this, like, picture saying that, yes, I buy, like, me and my team, we buy songs. And the songwriters and the artists behind that, they do get paid and they do get the credit and everything. So this isn't a normal thing to do. This happens in the music industry. We all make sure, you know, to choose a song that is going to reflect and be mine, like, become mine. And I always will put my thing to it. But, like, this is just something that happens. I'm not good at writing, so I don't do that. I just buy the songs. And it was so funny because everybody, you know, in the comments were saying, in brackets, I wrote this song for my ex, like everything that she was saying in the beginning about karma. Because like she, this girl came out and was like, yeah, I wrote this song for my ex, like or whatever. Like she clearly made it personal and as if she wrote it when she didn't. Like, why would you lie about that in the first place? It's just a lot of chaos.
It wasn't a good start, to say the least. The thing is that, like, I absolutely agree with the fact that you should. I mean, it's a good thing to get connected with a song that you're going to sing, even if you haven't written it. 100% agree with that. But we can never claim that you've written it when you haven't, sister. No matter how much connected you feel to the song.
Because exactly what happened is going to happen again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's gonna a new version, the main version, the original one, is gonna pop out of nowhere. It's gonna be like, oh,
exactly.
So this wasn't my song. I bought it. You know what the thing is? You know what I said? Like, I don't care and whatever. It's just that I would be more excited about this if there were vocals there and not just effects and like so much polished. Super polished, edited vocals. I don't like this. You know, like, make her, like, let her find another thing to do. Like, she's clearly so good at dancing and performing. Maybe she could do something else. And I don't say this as a, like, this is not a hate train. This is just saying, honestly, that you don't have to do it all. And it's totally fine. No. Maybe that's not your thing. Like, you should do what you're good at. And like, good as in,
you know,
something that you've cultivated throughout the years, which was clearly dancing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
She could do a Britney at the end of the day and just dance and perform. But, you know, keep the little audit, not audit, the, what's it called? The lip sync on, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, no one, obviously we all know that Britney does it. Did it at least when she had the residency, but that's fine. I mean, I don't know. I feel like JoJo is getting too much press, and I think it's just it's a bubble that's gonna burst one day, and we're not gonna even remember her at the end of the day if she continues and cultivating that music career, which is very harshly trying to happen, but I don't know if it will.
Me neither. I think, the thing is exactly what you said. It's not just her. There's a team behind dreaming about what she could become. And there's a lot of money being invested, and there's like a promotion behind it. There's a strategy. So I don't know if this is going to end up ultimately in a good path or not. Mm-hmm. So like, I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
We'll see. Then we'll make the comments next week probably on the new single.
Probably.
Anything else?
I think pop culture wise, I think that's pretty much it.
Great.
You want to talk about our music of the week, our gems, a little music?
Yes.
So, what is yours? Please share.
I've been crying to Birds of a Feather by Billy. I'm not over it. I'm sorry.
Oh, love it. Love it. Love
it. I'm still
it,
crying. It. I don't know why it gets to me so much. It's the lyrics. It's the instrumental. Lord.
Yeah.
Your? Yeah.
Mine is called Kamikaze from Susan. Sundfjord. Yeah, she's a Norwegian artist. I discovered her this week. And she has this album called 10 Love Songs, and it's literally 10 love songs. But the production is very, I would say, like EDM, electronic pop disco.
You really love that kind of genre.
I do. I eat it up. And this particular song starts, it kind of reminds me of like Billie's songs progression, like The Greatest and like obviously Happier Than Ever, where it starts very slow and then suddenly there's a huge beat And, you know, it sounds literally like it's just an explosion. And it just, you know, the first time that I heard that, I was like, okay, this is like a cute little ballad. And then bam, the beat hits and it just takes you by storm. It grabs you. And it's just, chef's kiss. She also wrote and produced the whole album. So props to her, mama.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Amazing. By the way, I just saved it. I'm going to check it out after the episode.
Oh my God. Yeah, you should definitely. The whole album is really good. It's really good. You should.
Yes.
And I don't know. I don't think she's very known. So, you know, giving to you some indie.
Thank you. Thank you. I always love this section, honestly.
Yeah.
Because most of the times I don't know them. Like, you're giving me new inspiration. Thank you for that.
Of course. And anyone else that wants to share their music recos, we obviously love to hear. Obviously. We're music freaks.
Tell me about it, honey.
Should we go into that mental health part?
This is like, yes.
We've been kind of teasing it from last week because we were having a discussion.
I've been waiting for this the whole week. I've not been sleeping like for this.
Love. So I'm gonna have obviously like my phone to have like my notes and everything just because like it's a lot of info. But I'll try to make it as, you know, as fun and yet informative as possible. It's just that we were talking a little bit last week about independence and, you know, how we can cultivate our independence and how we can we become the most independent version of ourselves. And we were talking how to achieve that you actually need others, which is something that we don't usually have synonymous with independence. So if you want to hear about that, go on Spotify and listen to the latest episode, obviously. But this is kind of like a part two of it because we wanted to talk about like attachment styles and what that exactly means. So, Countess, there are actually four different attachment styles, three of which are insecure attachments and one of them, which is secure. I'll go through the styles. Basically, the whole thing is that this basically derives from how you were raised and how you were taught to attach to your primary caregiver, i.e. the person that raised you when you were a little child. Usually, yes, we do usually have two parents, but the child always has attachment to one of the two. This is, you know, it doesn't matter the gender of the parent. It usually happens to the mother due to, obviously, you know, the mother figure and everything like that. But this is obviously not the case, you know, for all types of families. So the way you first attach to the primary caregiver when you're a little child is basically what you apply and what you do later on in your later life. You could be brought up in a family that has a secure attachment, but a traumatic experience in high school, when you're a teenager or in your young adult, it might result in you becoming insecure. The same can be happen, you know, if you're insecure, if you really work with therapy, usually it can, you know, you could go towards a secure attachment style. So it's not that, you know, it's, oh, it's how my mom or dad raised me and that's it. There is still possibility to change. Just letting you know, like, out there. So, four styles. Anxious, avoidant, disorganized, and secure. So, what is the difference between each one? Anxious is basically, like, the basic prefix is that you have a negative self-view and you view others in a positive note. So, what does that mean? Like, daily, you fear abandonment. So you're anxious. So you think that, you know, the other person is your better half. So you deeply, deeply, deeply want to have that connection with another person. This means that you're the type of person that will get easily excited, you know, when you find a partner, the person that would want constant reassurance, basically anxious in your relationship. So that's the anxious kind of style. The avoidant is the opposite. Anxious and avoidance are opposites, and that's why sometimes we say that opposites attract. This is where the phrase comes from, because usually avoidance and anxious create a perfect match, although it's very difficult for that to happen, because avoidants view themselves positively and others negatively. So basically, they are afraid to fall into the relationship. They fear that, you know, they're very afraid and avoiding their emotions. They are, you know, afraid of commitment. They're afraid of, you know, falling. I think that's a great way to put it. They don't want to depend on others. So, you know, they have others depend on them, or they try to seek approval in their social bonds. So you can see how these are kind of opposite, because one is like more, 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 more. I want more, I want more, I want more from you. And the other is, please stay away from me. Yeah, we don't want that. Then we have the disorganized or fearful avoidant. That's like the both terms. These people are very, very interesting, because they go from avoidance to anxious to avoidant. So this is like the most, like, this is like the boss. This is like the hardest level. If we want to put it that way.
Gaslighting.
Yeah, this is very hard for, and usually these people have survived some sort of traumatic, like, childhood. You know, it's very, there's a lot of trauma there. This is the person that probably grew up in an environment where it was giving, you know, very hot and cold treatment. You know, on the one hand, you know, I love you, you're the best, and from the other, you're the worst. So this is like very extreme proportions. So they really don't know what it means to be either anxious or avoidant. So they adapt both. Yeah. This, you know, this person that, you know, the partner and the relationship themselves are often the source of both desire and fear. So this is the person that will give you that hot and cold treatment. This is the person that would say, you know, that I want a relationship, and at the same time is so scared to really, you know, fall into it. So it's kind of both. So this is very, you know, you can understand that this is quite difficult to, you know, to handle, both as an individual but also as a partner to this person. And a lot of toxic behaviors definitely come out in all of these cases, and also in anxious and avoidance. But, you know, this one, I feel like because it's disorganized, because it's both, I think it just gets a lot of, you know, bad press. Finally, we have the secure, which, I mean, as the name implies, you can pretty much understand that, you know. Basically, it's the immediate opposite of disorganized. So they recognize that they can depend on ourselves and our partner. So they view positively both ourselves and both our partner. So they basically can just, like, you know, rely on them, but they can also rely on themselves. It's not so much of a dependency, because remember, in anxious, we depend on the other. In avoidant, we depend on ourselves. In disorganized, we don't depend on anyone. And insecure, we depend on both. The essence of this all is that, you know, this is where the discussion for dependence came last week, is the exact part where, you know, if you want to have a secure attachment, you need to combine these two things: positive view of yourself and positive view of your partner or any other person that you're at that moment dating or whatever. So these are the four attachment styles. Again, it usually comes from, you know, how you're raised, and it's obviously a huge part of us, because, you know, relationships are everywhere. And this doesn't have to be only about romantic relationships. This is how we treat our friends usually. This is how we treat everyone, basically. So yes, this was pretty much the theory.
Gorgeous. I always love the theoretical part.
I'm glad.
Like, hyper concentrating, like, okay, I'm gonna remember everything. Oh my God. Okay. So I got some questions, like
Yeah.
always. So my question is, first of all, I really find this so fascinating how, from being a small child, you see some patterns. Like you see your parents or like your mom or your dad or whatever, you know, appreciating other people in specific ways, like negative or positive. You know what I mean? Like you see everything, you see the good and the bad. And this somehow is translated into your brain. And what comes out of it is how you're gonna love other people or how you're gonna coexist with others. And I
Yeah.
say coexist because that could, you know, include the negative points of this. So it is very fascinating how, for example, if you didn't have a lot of time with your parents and you're always trying to get some of the time, that may end up into an anxious attachment. I don't know, that's an example. I
Exactly.
don't even know, that's
No,
correct?
for sure. It's exactly
Yay,
correct. Yeah.
love it. Or if they were never, you know, they were never showing you love, like a hug or congratulations, like good for you, you took an aid to like the test or whatever, or you tried this, you tried that. I love you. Like even saying I love you to your child is so important, and there are people who don't do it. So that could translate into like an avoidant style. Is that how the example?
No, I think that would be an anxious, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So what would
Because
have been?
that's what they would seek. That's what they would seek. So an avoidant would probably be, well, no, actually it could be avoidant as well, actually.
But what
Because,
is,
you know, you tell me. Sorry.
what is like the typical example of an avoidance style, like as a childhood upbringing?
The thing is that avoidants are so afraid. It's the fear principle that rules them. I guess for both fear, because for an anxious, they fear of being alone. For avoidance, they do have fear that they're going to be alone, but they fear of letting in more than fearing alone, being alone. So they have been, an avoidant would probably be a person that was maybe like manipulated as a child, in a sense that they would be, you know, maybe brought up in an environment where they have to prove themselves constantly. Or, you know, it would be a love that was not conditional. It wasn't unconditional. It was through conditions. So I will love you if you bring me good grades. And that translates to fear of, you know, love, because you're afraid of that, you know, I'm not good enough. I have to prove myself. I can't. I'm not capable of love because it's too scary. It's usually people that are not really emotionally connected with themselves. It's usually people that lack the emotional intelligence. And that happens because, you know, they're so scared. It's really a fear. It's not, because I think all humans have this need for relationships. We're social beings. We need the company of others, particularly partners. So in a sense, if you really want to see it in one simple way, I wish we had like a little graph here,
Yeah,
but
true.
it's basically, I want a relationship. Anxious are more direct. They're afraid of, you know, not getting that. Avoidance want to get to the relationship, but they're scared of letting go. So they're not afraid of the relationship. They're afraid of letting themselves feel, basically. So there's a lot of blockage when it comes to emotional development and emotional cognition. So I feel like for avoidance, it's more that they need to do like personal, they need to like, if you feel like you're an avoidant, and this again, this is not therapy sessions in any case, but for anyone that's interested, if you feel that you're an avoidant, I think the best thing that you could do in terms of a therapeutic setting, obviously, is discovering your emotions, discovering yourself, discover like really finding out yourself first. Because that's how you can connect with others if you first know yourself. Whereas with anxious, I feel like where you should, let's say, focus on in therapy is to again focus on yourself, but in your capabilities. So it's not, you know, it's more about a self-confidence. It's more like you are emotionally there. It's just that you are afraid so much of being alone that you constantly, constantly, constantly seek the company of others, which again is not healthy because it doesn't lead to good choices. It leads to, you know, irrational, again, choices. It leads to being greedy. It leads to, you know, being possibly, I don't know, causing others to feel like they're choking, like, you know, no air to breathe because you're constantly like, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? I need you, you know, like, where are you? You know, so it's a lot. This is just like a little, very simple terms. It's not like deep or anything. This is just like, you know, scratching the surface, but this is what we would look into if we understood that this person is anxious or this person is avoidant, let's say.
Yeah, because that would have been my next question. Like, so there is hope for somebody who is, you know, has either one of those three negative styles of attachments to go to the secure one. What is it about? Is it about unlearning? What?
Yeah, I mean, to be really honest, and I don't really want to discourage people because there's only up. Honestly, like the moment you understand that, like, it's the moment where things are going to start to fall into line. But really, I think the first relationship and the bond you create with your primary caregiver, that's the term we use, is so strong that I don't really think it can be like completely, you know, taken out of its root. I don't think that. I feel like you can shift it. You can change it, you can switch it, you can comprehend it better in a way that you have the style, but you are in control of it and it doesn't control you. So that reaches a more secure level. Obviously, like, you know, it might even reach full secure. Like, I'm not encouraging anyone. I just feel like, you know, it is so deep in us. It's wired in us because it's the first relationship we ever have with anyone, right? So it's very important. At the same time, you know, just by knowing that it's there and cognitively and consciously doing the work will improve, you know, wherever which route you want to go. Also, another fun fact is that you might have a different attachment style with your parents, a different with your partner, and a different with your friends. Like, every single relationship is different, and it's kind of like a volley sometimes, because if the other person is giving you the hot and cold treatment, even if you're secure, wouldn't you become a bit anxious as well? Wouldn't you be like, but what are they giving me? One day they're telling me I'm the person of their dreams, and the next they're ghosting me. If you are secure and you get that treatment, it's only obvious that you'll become anxious.
True. So,
you know.
So it's not like, okay, now I have the secure style of attachment. It's over. Like, I made it.
What's it called? As your base, as your, like, you know, usual, you will have one, usually. I mean, one for relationship, one for family, one for friends, which it could be the same, obviously. Usually they're close. But also sometimes the situation might change. And this is why I meant by, if you're secure and let's say you experience, I'm sorry if this is like a little deep, but if you experience rape and if you're raped by your partner, I don't think you're going to be secure in your next relationship. And that's the only obvious thing. Like, how can you be secure if you've experienced that once in your lifetime, which is more than enough to keep, you know, you traumatized forever, right? Because it's a very traumatic experience. So it's always fluid and it's always based on the circumstance. And that's why I meant in the beginning that you could be secure and you can something might happen in your life and you become anxious or avoidant. The same can happen with anxious and avoidant people. They could become more secure with the right partner, you know?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And I bet there's so much more to this kind of, right? field. Oh my God. But thank you so much for all of this information.
My pleasure, honestly. I love talking about these things.
Relationships, yeah, me too.
They just like tingle my brain, relationships. I absolutely love studying relationships, honestly.
Yeah, it's such a interesting, you know, kind of thing because it combines so much. So much.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Well, to be honest, I don't have a question for now. I'm going to be writing my questions in my notebook for next week.
Perfect. We can always keep the discussion for anyone else as well.
If you have any questions, drop them down below in the comments. We'll see them. Or you can always just comment on our Spotify account underneath our episodes. We could answer those like on the next episodes. I remind the people who just joined us, it's called We Still Got Time, the podcast by Countess and Mike. You're going to find us on Spotify. There's so much, you know, so many episodes, two whole seasons with so much that we've already unfolded and uncovered. And yeah, do you want to add anything?
And honestly, like, go and find us on TikTok. Go and find us on YouTube Shorts, on Instagram. We're there. We Still Got Time. Get involved. Get into the community. We're trying to build, you know, a little virtual community where we can just talk about stuff that we're passionate about. And hopefully you can get passionate about.
Love that.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody. Have fun.
You too.
Take care of yourselves. As always.
You too. As always.
Bye.
Bye.